You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, He is risen. During the season of Lent, we focused on a number of people that come up shortly before Jesus went to the cross to take our sins. We focused on Caiaphas, Pilate, Barabbas, the soldiers, the two criminals, Judas, and also the centurion who was there when Jesus died. We considered each of them, learned more about those particular people, and also thought a little bit about the perspective that they had on our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, to finish the series, we come to the perspective of God, our Father in heaven. How is He looking upon our Lord Jesus Christ? We have 7 points today to bring out on that topic. Number one, the Father promised Him. So we see the first promise of that in Genesis chapter 3. The Father said to the serpent, in other words, to the devil, to Satan, He said, I will put active opposition between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He, talking about the offspring of the woman, pointing ahead especially to our Lord Jesus Christ, He shall bruise your head, God said to the serpent. But then He also said, you, serpent, shall bruise His heel, talking about the promised Savior. So each of them are bruising each other. So the key here is not the degree of the affliction, but the key here is the location of the affliction. One gets it in the head, the other gets it in the heel. Since Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and let's understand, they could not fix it, God promised that He would take action through a future descendant of the woman, in other words, through the Christ, and the Christ would bruise the head of the serpent. That means He would crush the head of the serpent. He would win the victory over sin, over death, and over the devil. So Adam and Eve knew that reality, and even by God's grace, way back then, they were looking for the promised Savior to come and do that work. All of us have inherited this sad reality of sin from them. So what does that make us? That makes us losers, not winners. But the Son of God did come, and He did the work that He did, and He did win the victory. He is the winner. But the amazing thing, though, is that by God's grace, He invites us to share in that victory now and forever. Point number two, what was the perspective of God the Father on Jesus? The Father commanded lambs pointed ahead to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Going to Exodus chapter 12, we come to the account of the Passover. About 1,400 years before Jesus was born, and at a time when God promised that every firstborn in Egypt would die. With that particular setting, that is when the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. It is the Lord's Passover. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you. So who is Jesus He is the Father's only begotten Son. He is also the Father's perfect male lamb. So they were supposed to take a lamb without blemish. All those unblemished lambs were pointing ahead to the ultimate Lamb of God. He is the Father's perfect male lamb. And then at twilight, on Good Friday, that is when Jesus laid down his life. And then the Bible tells us the good news. It says that the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That is what we need the most, that cleansing, and it is his blood that does it. Since we have been washed clean in holy baptism, the Father will not destroy us. When he went into Egypt, he was destroying everywhere where he did not see the blood of the Lamb. But because we are washed in the blood of Jesus, because we are united to him, because we trust in him alone as our only Savior, God will not destroy us, but when the day is right, he will welcome us into paradise. Let's realize how blessed we are. And then point three, the Father announced him, talking about his Son. Both at his baptism and at his transfiguration, he made that announcement. Here's the one with the transfiguration. In Matthew 17, the Bible says that a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So Jesus is the second Adam. We know what happened to the first Adam. It wasn't good. He was tempted and he fell. So God sent his Son to succeed. And what is the good news today? In fact, the Son of God did succeed. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. And then God the Father said that we should listen to him. We should take heed to whatever our Lord Jesus Christ says. May God help us in all such things. And then the fourth part, the Father spoke through his Son. Over in John chapter 12, Jesus said, "I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given a commandment what to say and what to speak." Sometimes it can be confusing when we think about God and then we get into God being three in one, God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So keep in mind, we're always thinking one God, but three persons in one God. So think about it like this when it comes to salvation. So it is the Father who planned to rescue us. And then he sent his Son to say the words he wanted him to say and to do the extremely hard work to remove our sins. And then the Holy Spirit was sent in order to convict us of our sins, in order to give us the ability to be able to believe in Jesus, and even to come and live within us. We are so blessed by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Part five, the Father worked through his Son. In Acts chapter 2, Peter gave this description of Jesus. "He was a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him." That God did through him. So mighty miracles, like Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. God the Father was working through him in order to do that great miracle. Jesus did wonders, and the people were thoroughly amazed at the wonders that he did. God the Father was working through him to do these wonders, and also he did signs. What's the idea of the signs? The idea of the signs were making a crystal clear connection between Jesus, the Son of God, and his Father in heaven. Remember how the rulers in Jesus' day, they often tried to say, "Well, you're not from the Father because you do work on the Sabbath." And they had all kinds of different reasons why they were trying to make a disconnection between the Son and the Father, and yet there are all kinds of signs that are showing that reality. God wants us to know that the signs are undisputable. Therefore, God calls us to know they are true, to know there is a connection between the Son and God the Father in heaven, and he calls us to take that very seriously. He calls us to repent and believe. Number six, the Father heard his Son. From the cross, Jesus spoke seven times. The first thing he said, Father, forgive them. Who was he talking about? I believe we could put it this way. Father, forgive the Roman soldiers who just crucified me. Forgive those men who drove a large nail through my body and into this wood. Father, forgive them. So the Son spoke to the Father when he was nailed to the cross. And then, at the end of his time on the cross, the Bible records that Jesus also spoke to the Father again and said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Those are the first and the last things he said. What did he say in between? In between, he showed great care for his mother. He forgave the repentant criminal. He received our sins. He was separated from God the Father when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He received our eternal punishment. He was our whipping boy. We're the ones who deserve the whipping, but he took it for us. It's an amazing thing. He fulfilled the scriptures when he was on the cross. He declared his full payment for our sins to be complete so that we, through him, can freely enter into heaven. Think about how blessed we are in Jesus Christ. And finally, number seven, the Father raised him. So he does his work on Good Friday. The work was finished on that day, but how do we know? It seems that he lost on Good Friday. He died on Good Friday, so we come to Easter Sunday, so we know that truly he won. Peter preached these words on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. He said, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the agony of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." Let's make a quick comparison here. Think about the first Adam. He sinned, he died, and his body is still dead. What about the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ? He did not sin. He laid down his life in obedience to the Father and had his work fully accepted by God the Father, and now he is risen. So what does that mean for us? We have seven implications to what we've talked about today. Let's know these things are true because he is risen. I didn't mean for you to say it that time, but I have to be careful what I say now. So, seven implications. Creation. God the Father made everything through his Son. The Bible tells us that reality. Another implication is sin. The Bible says that all have sinned. And here's a hard one. The Bible says that all are deserving of eternal punishment. Not just the bad guys, but us too who think we're the good guys. The Bible also says we are deserving of eternal punishment, every single one of us. Another implication would be God's promise. Let's understand that God's love for us is greater than our sin. What a great blessing. Because that is true, he promised that in the fullness of time, he would take action and he would rescue us. And in fact, he did. Another implication would be with the Holy Scriptures. They are perfectly true. They are perfectly reliable. Another implication is that Jesus really finished his work. So he declared it from the cross, and he wants us to know that through him, heaven is open for everyone. Another implication would be the reality of hell. It does still exist, this reality of hell. Why did God make such a place? He made it for the devil and his angels. God doesn't want a single person to be there. He made it for the devil and his angels. But let's understand, though, that all who say no to Jesus Christ, because he's the only way to heaven, all who say no to him automatically go on to be with the devil and his angels. God doesn't want that for anyone. But let's end with some good news, though. Heaven is also a real reality, and God wants us to know that all who believe on Jesus Christ, God wants us to know that heaven is open for us. We are completely undeserving, and yet because of his great love, because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of that faith by which God has given us to embrace Jesus Christ and to continue in him, let us know that heaven is open for us. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we glorify you for your blessed plan to save us. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your gut-wrenching work to remove our sins. And dear Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your important work to make us sorry, to give us faith, and to show us what the Bible means and so much more. Keep us always in the one true faith. Help us that we would honor you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in all our ways until finally we are with you forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.